and welcome to Boston Private Perspectives. I'm Shannon Sakosha, Chief Investment Officer at Boston Private. As I mentioned in last week's podcast, we're going to be using this format to provide you with weekly updates on what we are seeing, hearing, and reading in order to keep you informed on the economy, the markets, and most importantly, how this impacts you. With that said, let's dive right in. A lot's happened over the past week, and the question we continue to get is, so what can possibly happen next? The challenge with that question is, of course, that we're operating in an uncertain environment with an adversary that remains somewhat uncontrolled in the form of the coronavirus. And so what we've tried to do is think about three factors upon which we could potentially build a foundation for improvement in the economy, and then in turn, in the equity markets here in the United States. So first and foremost, I'm actually going to start with the bond market, which seems counterintuitive because we're talking about equities, but I think it's an important piece of why we've seen the volatility that we've seen over the last couple of weeks. And there have been some signs that we could see some improvement in that volatility based on what's happened. So the Fed has enacted over the past 2 weeks several efforts that are designed to create greater liquidity in the bond market, which is instrumental because the majority of U.S. companies, particularly publicly traded U.S. companies, do have some form of debt in order to help finance their businesses. In particular, over the course of the last 12 years or so, we've enjoyed very low costs of capital. So it's made sense for companies to take out debt where perhaps historically they would have looked to fund projects, capital expenditure, and growth in other ways. It's really made sense not only to issue stock, but also to take out debt at these low costs of capital. And therefore, what's been created over the last few weeks or so has been concerns about companies' ability to go into the bond market to borrow in order to get additional capital. And that's been based on the fact that there just hasn't been a lot of liquidity. So if you think back into the financial crisis prior to 2008, there were a lot more what you'd call dealers in the market. The large banks could hold bonds on their balance sheet. And so therefore, when there were periods of dislocation, such as the one that we've experienced over the last couple of weeks, there were a lot of buyers who were willing to buy bonds at very attractive prices, hold them, and then eventually be able to sell them, to individual investors, out to mutual funds, out to large institutional buyers of bonds. And without those primary dealers in the market, following changes that were made as a result of the 2008-2009 financial crisis, there have just been less buyers as of late when we've experienced periods of dislocation in the bond market. And so over the last couple of weeks, there's been a consistent concern that some of these companies, particularly lower quality companies who are forced to issue bonds at higher interest rates due to the fact that they don't have the pristine balance sheets that some of the larger global multinational companies have, we're not going to be able to access the capital markets when they might need to over the course of the next year or so. And so what the Fed has done over the past several weeks is they've put several programs into place in order to help allay those fears and create greater liquidity in the bond market. In addition to their more traditional mode of buying treasuries and mortgage-backed securities that are essentially backed by quasi-governmental organizations, they actually committed this week to buying corporate debt, which has been done by the ECB, the European Central Bank, throughout the last decade or so, but really hasn't been done by the Fed historically. And so this was evidence that they realized that there had to be intervention on their part in order to create the free flow of capital in the corporate bond market. And we've seen evidence that these programs that have been put into place are working. Over the last several days, bond market liquidity has been increasingly better. We've seen more buyers in the market. We've seen smaller bid-ask spreads, the difference between a buyer and a seller on a price of a bond. And so for us, that's a positive sign that the Fed has done what it set out to do in creating an environment for supportive financial conditions for the rest of the economy. The second factor that we've been looking for to create this foundation for improvement from an economic perspective is fiscal stimulus. We saw fiscal stimulus coming out of the 2008-2009 financial crisis. Historically, with all recessions, there has been a fiscal component to the stimulus. So while the Fed can provide supportive monetary conditions, traditionally, growth is driven by some sort of large-scale fiscal stimulus package. And in this case, a critical piece of coming out of this quickly, given the depth of what we expect to be the economic impact over the course of the next several weeks, is going to be targeted fiscal stimulus to not only small businesses, but also those who become unemployed during this period. So the primary objectives of the both the Senate bill and the House bill that are being negotiated now center around providing greater unemployment benefits to those that lose their jobs, and many have over the course of the first couple of weeks of this, these various shutdowns in places like California and New York, and then also providing support to small businesses in the form of either loans that they could potentially forego paying back if they meet certain requirements, as well as some relief on the payroll tax side. The majority of economic activity in the United States, although much of what we talk about is dominated by large companies within the S&P 500, the majority of economic output in the U.S. is actually from small companies that have less than 50 employees. So those are particularly those in areas like hospitality, food service, retail trade, all of those have been greatly impacted over the course of the last several weeks as we've adopted programs such as social distancing and some of the shelter-in-place orders that a few states have put into place at this juncture. And so being able to provide that additional support to small businesses, to unemployed persons, in order to set us up for a potential recovery in the back half of the year is critical. The other piece that's a big part of the fiscal stimulus package that we do expect to be passed, within the next 24 to 48 hours of this recording, is around the protection of certain industries that have been hit very hard by curbs on travel, particularly outside of the United States. So think airlines, airline suppliers, those companies have essentially seen their revenues go to, 20% of what they were previously, in some cases down to 0%, based on things that are entirely outside of their control. And while you could certainly argue that they should have been better prepared for a declining free cash flow of this magnitude, the reality is that they are, from a national security perspective, strategically important. So we would expect a part of this fiscal stimulus package to be designed to help those larger institutions that are viewed as being important to the United States as a whole. With that being said, the sort of third leg or third factor that we're looking to create this foundation is actually economic data. And it seems somewhat counterintuitive as well, because we are expecting the economic data to be pretty poor. We expect these releases to be disappointing as it relates to comparisons with the prior month, the prior quarter, the prior year. You choose the time period. The data that's going to come out that reflects economic activity in the United States that's occurred over the first half of March and into the back half of March is going to be much worse than what we were expecting going into the year, and also show comparisons to previous periods that are probably unprecedented. So if you think about something like jobless claims, those are going to be released tomorrow morning. Last week, we had jobless claims of 281,000 in the United States. That number could be upwards of 2 million in this report, which it's reflective of 1 week of change. And so with the magnitude of the rapidity of the decline and the deterioration in the U.S. economy, you may say, well, how can that possibly create a foundation for improvement of sentiment or the potential for an economic recovery? right now, it's the not knowing and the uncertainty around these numbers that's very difficult to start to extrapolate expectations, to start to discount economic activity that is not happening with this data that will allow us to have better perspective, better context for the anecdotal evidence that we're hearing and seeing and what we're reading in people that we're talking with. And so, you know, having this economic data, having hard data to be able to support this anecdotal evidence will allow us to create better expectations, particularly for the back half of the year, and allow us to adjust what, you know, how we're creating, you know, our portfolios, how we're constructing our expectations. And I believe it will create a foundation for people to realize where the effective industries are, how we can potentially design our implementation of this fiscal stimulus to get to those hardest hit areas, and of course, be able to support the front line of the fight against the coronavirus as it relates to our healthcare system in particular. There is going to be significant support of the healthcare system as part of this fiscal stimulus. And so seeing that economic data, I think, will provide even greater impetus for the government to get going quickly on the implementation of the stimulus, given the data that we're going to see over the next couple of weeks. So those are our three factors for a foundation. While we expect monetary and fiscal policy efforts to produce positive results, we acknowledge that uncertainty and volatility are likely to continue for the next few months. Thoughtful planning around liquidity needs over that period is encouraged, and members of our team at Boston Private can help to determine appropriate solutions to put into place for your business or your family during these uncertain times. If you have any questions or thoughts on my points today, you can find me on Twitter, at Shannon Sakosha. You can also read our latest perspectives as this situation evolves by visiting bostonprivate.com. And if you want all of this information delivered right to your inbox, I encourage you to sign up for our newsletters on bostonprivate.com as well. You can subscribe to the Boston Private Perspectives channel on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, or Spotify. And I look forward to speaking with you next week.